This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
If you find it difficult to speak English and would like some help to become more fluent, then Better Speaking is for you.
Well, obviously I've survived in business by being able to speak English and Greek, which is not very useful outside Greece. So definitely English must be the business language.
Businessman Stelios Hadjiwanou has become well known here in Britain as the founder of a highly successful independent airline. In this interview, he explains why he chose to start his business in Britain and not in his home country, Greece.
Well, obviously I've survived in business by being able to speak English and Greek, which is not very useful outside Greece. So definitely English must be the business language. I think it would have been impossible to run an airline in the UK without speaking English. That would have been serious limitation to your ability to communicate with customers. And in fact, when people ask me, you come from Greece, why didn't you start the airline in Greece, or why didn't you go to France or Germany or everything else? And one of the things I say is that, you know, Greece is too small, it's in the wrong end of Europe. And out of the big markets, the German, the French and the English, the only language I could speak was English, so I had to come to London.
Stelios needs English to run his business and, as we heard there, he speaks the language very well. But what's he doing that makes him such a good communicator in English? What's his secret to better speaking?
BBClearningEnglish.com.
And with me again in the studio is teacher and teacher trainer Richard Hallows. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Callum.
And before we hear more from Richard, let's listen again to Stelios.
Well, obviously I've survived in business by being able to speak English and Greek, which is not very useful outside Greece. So definitely English must be the business language. I think it would have been impossible to run an airline in the UK without speaking English. That would have been serious limitation to your ability to communicate with customers. And in fact, when people ask me, you come from Greece, why didn't you start the airline in Greece, or why didn't you go to France or Germany or everything else? And one of the things I say is that, you know, Greece is too small, it's in the wrong end of Europe. And out of the big markets, the German, the French and the English, the only language I could speak was English, so I had to come to London.
So, Stelios Hadjiwanou there, obviously a very successful businessman, but Richard, how successful do you think he is as a speaker of international English?
I think he's very successful, and I think one thing, what I find particularly interesting about Stelios is the way that he organises his speaking.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, he makes it very easy for us to follow what he wants to say. He uses words like and but very well. But more than that, listen to the way he asks a question to himself and then goes on to answer that question.
And in fact, when people ask me, you come from Greece, why didn't you start the airline in Greece, or why didn't you go to France or Germany or everything else? And one of the things I say is that, you know, Greece is too small, it's in the wrong end of Europe. And out of the big markets, the German, the French and the English, the only language I could speak was English, so I had to come to London.
Now, by asking the question, it prepares us, as being the listener, to listen for the answer. So why did he come to the UK? Well, I wonder. And, you know, we start thinking, oh, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. And then he gives us the answer. So it's a good way to get the listener to follow easily what you want to them to hear.
So helping the listener out in the conversation.
Yeah, and I think what our listeners can do is they can actually steal this question or adapt it in different ways.
For example?
Well, they could say, an interesting question is, and then go on to say that, or I think, let me tell you about. Is a good expression.
So there are ways of drawing the listener into the conversation, getting them involved and making them want to listen more.
Yeah, it's a way of marking that there's some important information coming next. It's a useful idea to make it clear, as clear as possible, what type of information is coming next. So I think if you're adding extra information or maybe contrasting information, saying something opposite in meaning, our listeners know, I think, to say and but, maybe we can make that even clearer.
How?
Well, instead of just saying and, maybe and another thing is, mm-hmm. or and on top of that, or maybe even just stressing and. So, for example, Stelios speaks very fluently and organises it very well. So we can stress the and to make it very clear that there's some extra information coming.
And that's very natural.
That's very natural indeed. Native speakers do it all the time. If you're contrasting information, instead of saying just but, maybe, but in fact, mm-hmm. or but on the other hand, and so we know it's very clear there's some contrasting information coming, and listen for that information.
Little phrases like, and another thing is, and on top of that are unnatural markers to put into sentences. Can you give us some examples of these?
Okay, learning English is about having enough language and, on top of that, making our speaking clear through good organisation.
Right, so there's two things going on there, and on top of that indicates that there's something more as well that needs to be listened out for.
An example of contrasting information might be that I came here by bus today and I left my house very early. I thought it would take a long time, but in fact, it took me 20 minutes.
So, in fact, used there to contrast information. That's a very natural kind of language. Mm. Stelios, as we said, is a very natural speaker of English. Let's listen to one more clip from him, and he's got his own piece of advice for learners and speakers of English. Let's listen again.
What I find fascinating is sometimes when you're having perhaps even a casual meeting, even a dinner, with a group of people from different countries, where, you know, the only common link really is business, and you try and talk outside the business, and then there's very little common ground. So one of the things I've learned is that if you're going to communicate with people whose mother tongue is not English, don't try and use too many colloquial expressions, don't try and crack too many jokes, because it may go over their head completely and you may lose them.
So what do you think of that piece of advice there, Richard? I know that many students, they like to learn idioms and colloquial expressions from British English or American English, but there's a little warning there from Stelios, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Students do like learning idioms, and I think it can be fun. But I think you can spend a lot of time learning these idioms, and if you're speaking with non-native speakers, maybe it's not the best way to spend your time. Maybe they're not really going to be understood.
So if you're speaking to native speakers, then that's quite a natural thing. But other non-native speakers of English might not exactly understand what you mean when you use these idioms and jokes.
Better to keep it simple, really, simple and clear.
Mm-hmm. So if we go back now to thinking about helping people who may be wanting to improve their English, what piece of advice can you give them today?
Well, first of all, be aware that you need to organise your speaking, which hopefully people are now. And I think listen for ways in which people organise their speaking. So next time you're listening, don't just listen to the content, but listen how it's put together, OK? If you can read an interview, or maybe if you've got a course book, look at the transcript of the listening in the back of the book and pick out ways in which the speaking is organised. Okay, look at the way people add information, the way they contrast information, the way they introduce new ideas or maybe interrupt other people and so on, the way it's organised very generally.
So there's more than just and but.
Exactly, yes.
And what about that last piece of advice about using colloquial expressions, idioms and jokes and so on?
Yeah, I think using colloquial expressions, idioms can be very nice if you're speaking with a native speaker. If you're speaking with non-natives, maybe these things will not be understood, will make you not very clear. So when you're learning English, maybe focus, concentrate your time more on learning other things and focus on speaking as clearly and as simply as possible.
For today, Richard Hallows, thank you very much.
Thank you, Callum.
And now just time to hear today's Better Speaking Tips again.
Listen out for ways that people organise what they're going to say. Listen to how good speakers of English add information. For example, they might say, and another thing is,
Or perhaps they might say, and on top of that. Or they might just stress the word and.
Stelios speaks very fluently and organises it very well, so we can stress the and to make it very clear that there's some extra information coming.
Listen to how speakers of English contrast information. For example, by saying, but in fact, or by saying, on the other hand.
I came here by bus today and I left my house very early. I thought it would take a long time, but in fact, it took me 20 minutes.
Notice the way fluent speakers introduce new ideas or new information. For example, they might say, an interesting question is, or let me tell you about. Remember the way that Stelios asked a question and then went on to answer it himself.
And in fact, when people ask me, you come from Greece, why didn't you start the airline in Greece, or why didn't you go to France or Germany or everything else? And one of the things I say is that, you know, Greece is too small, isn't it?
If you're studying English at school or college and you have a course book, there may be transcripts of listening material in the book. If there are, read them and highlight the phrases that speakers use to add information, contrast information, introduce new ideas, and so on.
Look at the transcript of the listening in the back of the book and pick out ways in which the speaking is organised.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.